to Build, Lead, Thrive, Voices of Androscoggin, a bi-monthly podcast that features in-depth conversations with the people shaping Androscoggin County. Each episode dives into personal stories, showcasing the leaders and entrepreneurs behind the region's economic and community vitality. Hi, I'm your host, Shanna Cox, President and CEO of the LA Metro Chamber. I'm joined by local talent, longtime friend, and our producer, Mark Turcotte.
Hello.
Thanks for being the guy managing the cutting room floor.
I'm happy to do it.
It's appreciated. Together, we highlight the leaders and entrepreneurs building a stronger economy and vibrant community right here in our region, sharing stories of how they build, lead, and thrive. Today's guest is a creative force with deep roots in Lewiston and an eye for both beauty and business. Jennifer Gammon is a local artist and entrepreneur who brings nature into daily life through her work at Leanne Pottery. Her ceramics are functional, botanical, and deeply inspired by the cycles of the natural world, bringing a piece of nature into everyday life. Her broader artistic practice, built on a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Studio Art from the University of Southern Maine, encompasses painting and ceramics, consistently exploring themes of life, death, and environmental cycles through organic forms and plant-inspired imagery. Jennifer's path to entrepreneurship is just as compelling as her art. Before launching her own business, she led a team of designers as a graphics manager at Crestline. That's a division of Geiger, locally known and recognized, sharpening her skills in leadership and operations. Today, she not only manages her own studio, but also organizes a successful annual makers market that draws creators and shoppers alike. She is blending artistry, strategy, and community. And recently, she joined our team here at the Chamber to support entrepreneurs and small business owners in our region. She lives in Lewiston with her family and just celebrated a proud parenting milestone, Yay. Her daughter's high school graduation. Congratulations.
Yay. Yeah.
Having also experienced that, I think milestone is a small word for what that is in scale of event. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
Today, you're joining us as the newest member of the LA Metro Chamber team.
Yes.
As our program coordinator.
Yeah.
It's a new position that will help build out our Start and Grow programming, focusing on entrepreneurship, supporting and growing small businesses. Welcome.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
I love that we get to tell the story of who you are and not just the story of what you are here at the Chamber.
Right.
In part because who you are is a big reason of why you're at the Chamber,
yeah.
Right? Like it yes. was, that's part of why it was really easy for Sam and I in the hiring process. So before we dig in, we're going to start with our getting to know you segment.
Our first segment is called Getting to Know You, where we ask guests fun, personality-revealing questions to help you learn about and connect with our guests on a personal level before we get into the deeper questions. This is like the appetizer before the main course.
Ready for a couple nibbles?
Sure.
What is your go-to productivity hack when you are feeling overwhelmed?
Lists.
Lists and more lists.
Yeah. Is it the satisfaction of,
yes.
are you like a check
yeah.
or are you a cross
Absolutely.
Out,
and
full scribble?
I want to see, and then I just, and if I'm, I just want to really cross it off when I'm like, I've done.
Vigorously.
Yes, it's great. Feels good.
I also am a list person. Does it have to be paper? Do you like it digitally?
I can do both, but it is most satisfying on paper.
Right? When you actually get to touch.
Yeah.
We have I guess I'm telling Mark this because you know, but we have a project management software.
Yep.
Works in list forms.
Yes.
You get to check things off. It keeps you organized. We love it. We're growing our adoption and use of it. And while you don't get the physical satisfaction of crossing something off, do you want to tell them what we get when we...
We get all these cute little, like, you did it!
Unicorns.
Fantastic, yeah.
Rainbow otters swimming across your... It's like they knew that we were missing out on something,
like,
and they tried to feed us something else.
We need to make this satisfying.
Yeah.
We need to have something here that's fun that makes you go, yeah!
Well, and it's... So Brian, who's our VP of finance, for months... was like, I love the narwhal. And I'm like, this guy's crazy. How does he not know what a unicorn looks like? There are no narwhals. I had just not gotten a narwhal yet. There is a rainbow narwhal that is a celebratory feature. I just hadn't gotten it. And I thought maybe he just didn't understand what a unicorn looked like.
We
were both right, as it turns out.
You're like, man.
So lists are satisfying.
Yes, lists are satisfying.
I can appreciate that. I'm excited for this question. You're such a creative. So okay. What is a book, podcast, show, or movie that has inspired you recently?
Oh, boy. I actually just went to see the new Wes Anderson movie, The Phoenician Scheme. And it's when we were looking at where it was going to play, it wasn't playing anywhere around. So we actually went to Waterville.
Nice.
Yeah. I love his movies, his aesthetic, like the kind of playful, joyful way that he tells a story. So that's my most recent movie is just like Sunday. I went and
did you leave feeling a little bit inspired?
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it.
Largely because of his aesthetic.
Really the aesthetic too. Is really good.
Yeah. Ooh, good answer. I'm gonna have to add that to my must watch list. Only in Waterville though.
Now I think it's in Falmouth and a couple other places. It might come here, but it's one of those things where it's a smaller release. So
yeah.
You never know. It could come locally. So
I'll keep my eyes open.
Yes, keep your eyes open.
My guy's a big Wes Anderson fan, too. What is one local business or community initiative that excites you right now?
Oh, my goodness.
And there's a lot of choices.
Yeah, I'm like, wow, really? I started in this position recently, and I am learning about all kinds of things happening, so I feel like a little overwhelmed trying to answer this question, because
it doesn't have to be the best one. It just has to be one you're excited about. There's no value judgment here. There's no ranking of community initiatives. I won't make you do that, I promise.
One of the things that I will say, it's because I have connections to it, I am excited to see several different businesses downtown trying to work together to get the downtown to be supported. And seeing these people, at least these people trying to work together to do this, for me, is great. I just think that if we can keep that momentum going, and it's hard to keep momentum going, but... Yeah. But seeing people supporting other people in LA Arts is in there supporting things. And again, I'm actually going to put the plug back to the fact that when I went to Waterville, I said their downtown is really nice.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, I just would love to see that here.
It feels like we've been on the... I've still been here 18 years, and it feels like we've been on the cusp of that more than once.
And
it feels like we are again. Like there's murals, and there's a new restaurant opening, and like you know, there's been a couple new restaurants in the last like 8 months, and so I get really excited about that too.
Yeah, I know that there's people that are going to be like, downtown. It's hard downtown.
Yeah,
there is no it's not magic, but. When I see people working together, I feel like that gives me hope that people are still working toward that goal.
Yeah. I feel like choosing to open a business.
Yeah.
And it could be a attorney's business. It could be a restaurant. It could be a bookstore. But
yep.
Choosing to open a business in a downtown means you're making some choices about the type of community you want to contribute to and be part of. It's not just math on lease and square footage and bottom lines. Like there's a real intentionality around being part of something larger than just your own business and its bottom line.
Yeah.
And anywhere I go, and especially here at home, I always try to seek out the downtown for that reason and frequent those businesses because I also get excited about that. I feel like it's where the best food and drinks always are too. Great answer. Sorry to give you lots of pressure, but I feel like
I know. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. All right, we'll dive into the big questions.
Okay.
The main course, if you will. Your work spans both artistry and entrepreneurship. It was one of the things that stood out to us, almost immediately. Mm-hmm. I think having somebody who understands being an entrepreneur, an entrepreneurial mindset, managing a small business is so key when you are dealing with other entrepreneurs and small businesses. When did you first realize you wanted to start your own business? What was your journey to that moment?
Oh, my gosh. Let's be clear. I was a kid.
Yeah.
My mother owned her own business for years around here. People might know her. She, Cheryl Gammon, and she did tailoring. She was a seamstress. She had her own business. And so I saw that. And my grandparents had their own farming business. And I was really raised in a family that it was you can start a business.
Yeah.
I was a teenager. I actually started selling pottery when I was a teenager.
So forever.
Yeah. Feels like forever.
it's so funny because, I have four boys. Regular listeners will know that I talk about them from time to time. But I grew up in a very much my parents punched a clock.
Yeah.
And they very much worked 40, 45 hour work weeks. They weren't necessarily salaried employees. Yep. My dad's always been in the trades. And so earning income for most of my life was connected to working for someone else, was connected to like meeting goals someone else set for me. So the notion of business ownership was always just like not even on my radar. Yeah. It's not something I learned about and was like, oh, that's not a right fit for me. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it was something I thought of.
Yeah.
And ended up owning my own business and raised my kids in a like very entrepreneurial mindset. And it is transformative the way they think of business ownership as not only an inherent option, but like a goal. And you know, I'd like to learn some skills in the workforce and bring them to my business. Yeah. But it's really fun to think about how that's how you are exposed and that's how early.
Yeah. I mean, and to be clear, like my dad worked for General Electric for years. I mean, he had a like, he was on the floor doing the thing over in Auburn. And, you know, he had a pretty clock in, clock out job. But there was always that little piece. It was just around.
Yeah, there's something fulfilling about that.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately, like, that was one of my biggest reasons for going into business for myself is, like, balance and choice and, right?
Yeah.
Is that part of what's always been in the background for you?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. You have that flexibility and you can always get yourself into a position where you feel like there is no flexibility and it's hard.
Yeah.
So
I feel like, and I see this even in our entrepreneurial programming and the folks that but I see like a significant number of women who entrepreneurship opens up an opportunity for income and maintaining like parenting and availability for your kid and not burdening the expense of childcare, of which like maybe you're netting $100 at the end of the week after you work the job to pay for the childcare that took most of what the income was from the job. And I feel like one of the biggest reasons, I mean, I always knew I wanted to start a business, but my timing of actually taking the leap was related to the expense of summer childcare.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, I can't afford another summer of summer camps for three kids. I can't do it. And that was like, that was one of the biggest influences of timing for me. Have you owned a business throughout your daughter's entire life?
So let's put it this way. So I was selling my artwork under just my regular name, just Jennifer Gammon. And claiming it as a sole proprietorship since forever.
Yeah.
So,
since high school.
Definitely since high, yeah. So, yes, I started the focus on Leanne Pottery when she was 8.
Nice.
Yes. And that was, you know, also exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Some of that was being available for her and just that complicated balance, but it's also like, hey, I know I can do this. I had built up a bunch of the equipment that I needed. I had built up all these different things over
time.
You built
a reputation.
Yeah.
I know you're too humble to say that, but like your work and your name is known.
Yeah.
And I know plenty of folks who come back to get additional pieces from you because of like affinity and care for the work that you write, the work that you contribute and your work product and art. So I think that a lot of people, and I really do feel this way. I'd love to hear your take on it and yours too, Mark, because I think you are an artist as well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so a lot of people think of artists and entrepreneurs as totally different. Like if you're an artist, then you are not an entrepreneur. It's not a business. It doesn't matter if it's performing arts, fine arts. Like unless you like own a gallery and sell, yes, your art, but also others, I think people really struggle to think of artists as entrepreneurs and to really honor not just the creativity of their work as an artist, but also the entrepreneurial spirit and challenges that come with being an entrepreneur. What would you give for advice to anybody kind of navigating that intersection or even just validation that like, yes, you can be an artist and an entrepreneur at the same time? Because I feel like that does get kind of overlooked.
A lot of people look at it like you don't think like an entrepreneur or like, you know, let's also be clear. Like if you're an artist, you get all of this advice, like, if you're doing it to make money, you're not doing it for the right reasons. If this is happening, like there's so many ways that people can convince you that you should not do that, or what you're doing isn't valid, or I can't even get into all of the things. Like just like as a like fast question, I'm like, boy, I could have given
it's
you.
It's no longer fast. You can take as much time as you want.
But I think that you can do that. You can. And I think that you just, a lot of people who are, if you're doing something very creative and you're making money on it, I think that one of the things that's hard to do is that you do have to stop and take inventory. Like, am I making this just to make money? Am I making this because I love making it and I'm going to make money?
Yeah.
And those pieces are tough. I mean, that is so personal. But I don't think that it's separate. And I actually think that if you can do this, like, you can even do it as a side thing and make money on the side. And I don't know why, you know, there's those expectations of people, like, you have to be way out there if you're an artist, and you can't think about the fact that you have to do a budget. And
right.
I'm like, but you can. Yeah. Everyone can.
Like, it's mutually exclusive.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. And, but let's be clear, the other side of that is, I think that it's hard, but sometimes you can get support for the things that you really can't get your head around.
Yeah.
And again, it'd be great to have a way for some of those creative people to get support where they don't have, they're not sure how to do something or anyway.
Well, and like, unless it's an accountant or a database creator, regardless of their level of creativity or how their business is based in creativity, almost no one comes in and says, I got into business because I love doing budget projections.
Exactly.
Like, that's not a creative thing.
Exactly.
That is not many people. And we have some really great entrepreneurs we work with who, like, that is their jam. And
And that's
awesome
great for
them. Yeah. But, like, it is not the norm by any stretch.
No. I mean, I think that artists and creative people are going to struggle the same way any other small or micro business is going to struggle in like, those different spots where they're just not sure.
100%.
And it's confidence, too. It's hard.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
Be true to yourself. Don't sacrifice your values or your identity.
Yeah.
I learned early on that other people's opinion of me or what I was doing didn't really matter. I had a vision and I followed it. And whether it worked or not, I knew it was on me. It's I don't know if Jennifer, I do stand-up comedy. I ran Main Event Comedy for 8 years. And
helped start the comedy scene locally.
Yeah.
So not just a business, but a movement. Right. I will always give you that credit.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I did my research before I started.
Yeah.
And I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted it to look like and wasn't motivated by money. I heard from a lot of people that I should be charging more for tickets and all this and all that. My main goal was to expose this area to live stand-up comedy, which is something they hadn't had.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe ever.
Right.
That was my focus.
Yeah.
Well, again, if you're doing something, your authentic focus, so like what you want to do, you might run into a roadblock where maybe your right customer, your right person isn't quite right there, but they could still find you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're out there doing it, they can still find you. And you may get yourself in front of the right people at the right time.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's a thing too.
Yeah.
If you're doing what you like to do or what you want to do, then there's somebody out there that is on the other side of that. They want that to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even as I asked the question and heard both of you responding to it, one of the things that I've seen in years of being an entrepreneur, like, guilty as charged, this is my own issue too, but in working with other small businesses and entrepreneurs, not just here at the Chamber, but in all of the years that preceded that, I think the value judgment that you both articulated around, like, somehow creativity is less than business, it's less skilled, it's less focused, it's less disciplined. Like, first of all, that's crap. But second of all, and thanks both of you for giving some voice to that, because absolutely, I think the reverse never gets asked. And I can tell you the amount of times that I've worked with entrepreneurs who, you know, are very linear, very business focused. They've done the prototype. They've done the projections. Mm-hmm. They've, like, checked all the boxes on all of the business advising check sheets, right? And they lack creativity. And they aren't able to solve problems. They aren't able to see outside that linear approach. Or they can do the projection, but they can't creatively problem solve how to improve the projection? And like, where is the way in which we value what creativity brings to traditional business thinking and acumen, not just how are you as creatives finding a way to inherently bring business acumen to your, yeah. right? Like the reverse is true. Yeah. And no one ever asked that question.
Not as much.
So, I mean, that was a little bit of a loaded question to you guys. I just want to own that for you. But like, I really, you know, Mark and I think I've talked about this once or twice before, but in my own journey, my own professional journey, both my entrepreneurial and business journey, but also in my work coaching others and in supporting organizations, the work of like teaching improv, like very intentionally. Yeah. Improv is one of my favorite skill building techniques to help leaders adapt or leaders to like respond to situations with their team or with their market or like there are very tangible ways that you can bring creative pursuits and creative skills into traditional business environments. And I would argue it's absolutely necessary and so rarely done. I mean, even something as subtle as like putting adult coloring books on a table during business meetings so that people's literally so that synapses can fire on the other side of the brain. So we use our whole brain. It's those subtle ways. And it's not often that people are saying like, ooh, how do we pull more creativity into our planning meeting or quarterly stakeholders, like I think there's a lot of space for the reverse of that thinking to be asked and instituted, and it's not often enough. It's part of why I got so excited about what you could bring to this position, frankly. Like I just, you know, when we talk about your bio, when we talk about your journey, I think there's so much that you'll be able to offer the folks that we work with. And I think the creativity is not like in spite of being a creative, Jen brings skills to the table, but more like Jennifer is incredible and creative and what a full complement of skills.
Wow.
And I don't think people think about that enough. You are already showing that. That's not just like my hopes for you are. Like I'm already, already witnessing that.
That's awesome.
Already in the real world as we move through the... You're, what, glowing 2 weeks today?
Yeah, I think so.
It is 2 weeks today.
It's 2 weeks today. Congratulations.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
See? You've worked with makers, small businesses, your market, and your own studio. What do you think entrepreneurs and small business owners need most right now in our region?
I'm going to put this hat on, and I'm going to tell you which hat it is so you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
Okay, so... This hat is, I own a pottery business and I'm trying to sell pottery and I'm talking to people who I'm setting up a maker's market and I'm talking to people. Right now, one of the challenges that we're trying to get through is that we have like this, we have a abundance of markets. But then like getting the right people to come to them and customers are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like you could go to a market at any time. At this point, it's like there's one every weekend and there's everything that's happening. And so there's like a little bit of like saturation right now for that. And people are finding that what we need right now is, so I'm trying to say like where I see the biggest challenge right now, but then like what we need right now, and I'm not sure what people need, or if it's just part of a regular cycle that's going to happen, which is another thing that when the markets go up and down, and then our and when I say markets, I mean like how people are spending money, but I'm also talking about like the number of markets, and then they get there's less, so a bunch of them stop doing the reoccurring market because they just are not getting traffic because there's too many people.
And then we start to stabilize at an amount that both vendors want to show up and make art for.
And customers want to show up and buy art for.
And still have money left because they didn't hit three markets on the
floor. Yeah, exactly.
And overspend. That's my guilty.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that in our region specifically, one of the things that I think as Leanne Pottery would say is I feel like in some other areas, like say Southern Maine, Eastern Maine, I've seen a really nice venue have a really good show, like get like, you know, Maine Craft to do a thing here where we could have a really gorgeous venue and make it an event that people from here could go to, whereas I feel like we have really good small small markets that pop up here and there. But one of the things that I feel like in this area, as a person coming from that perspective, that's one of the things that I feel like is missing. We have so many people from this area drive so far to go to these markets. Like, I mean, as far as small.
Yeah. First of all, let me just say, the what's the challenge you're answering with trying to find solutions.
I know.
Love that. Not lost on me. Way to jump ahead. That's fantastic. But so is it the venue, or is it the establishment, like something consistent that can build the demand, the market,
awareness?
It's
all of that.
Yeah. Like it's like an establishment of a reoccurring market that creates that demand. But like here.
Yes.
Like we become the destination makers market.
Yeah.
I love that. I'll work on that with you.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's do it.
And again, it's not an easy thing. I mean, I think that I wonder right now is, you know, what small businesses and entrepreneurs, what do we need? We need support. We need financial support. We need people to go to our businesses and to buy things from us. Like we are people that live here in the community, and if you're not spending money, I get it. And then guess what? The people who are these businesses are not doing. We're also not spending money because we're not having money coming in. So if you can, you know, use your dollars in a way that supports
local.
Yeah. I know people say it all the time.
But it's so powerful.
It is so powerful. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I remember sponsoring my first, I don't know, like, he was 8, so whatever, Tuffy League but football. And I saw my business name on the back of the of the jerseys. And like, there are so many places that I do occasionally spend my dollar out of necessity or ease. I'm not proud of that. Mm-hmm. Like, there is an intentional choice I make and have made ever since that day about like where local businesses, when you support a local bit, like, so I've got a couple of kids that have worked for Blaze Flower Shop.
Yeah.
And so
they're
like
great.
So we support her. She supports local. Mm-hmm. What I see her business do for area sports, for area signature events. Like, I mean, she's always kind of giving back. But in addition to that, this woman made a live fresh flower sash for one of my sons at his graduation, who works in the greenhouses.
No,
that's
so
and like
sweet.
Just dropped it off right before graduation.
Oh.
Right. And so like, that's just like, that's what local small business.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the way it shows up in your families and your special days. And
it matters.
You know, it's just, And so, you know, the way in which we choose to be intentional about putting our dollars into our local community and watching it circulate I know it is said a lot. Right.
But
like,
it's
said a lot because it's because it's needed and it's real. And because there are so many other ways to spend your dollars now that aren't local, that don't have that impact, that like, that'll be on your porch tomorrow.
And I get it. It's easy. I mean, I can't, but I'm also like that is a challenge.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
No, I think that's real. Yeah. And I don't think I do feel like there is a movement to buy local with food, with art, to, you know, both environmentally and sustainably, but around local economy. And I actually feel like that is finally like a building, like we hit this like oversaturation of like the easy dollar commercialization point a number of years ago, that I feel like more and more people are being intentional. And I don't know if it's enough to outweigh the way in which the average dollar is going outside of community, but I do see a return to really valuing craft, right? Things that are made with intention, showing up for small businesses and knowing that they're, you know, again, like supporting your little league team or hosting the local domestic violence organization for a fundraiser. Like these are, I see. And
that matters.
Because of where we're positioned, I get to see those collaborations and that like reciprocity all the time.
Yeah.
And I think if you're not connected to community, it might be hard to not realize the impact that you can have or how
it's a huge
impact. Yeah. Yeah. So you joined our team.
Hi.
You've come back every day for 2 weeks.
I have.
I love that.
I have.
We're winning. I think she's even enjoying herself.
I haven't run away yet.
Yeah. No.
I'm really excited for the work.
Right?
It's great.
Yeah, see, I love that. Like, I want to ask a question. I just want to sit in that for a second. I am also really excited about the work. I'm even more excited that you're doing it. Well, it just means more of it can get done, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was always the limiter of some of this work. And so, yeah, I know I've told you this before, but for our listeners and for Mark, when I started here at the Chamber almost 6 years ago, you know, we started startup sessions like pretty much right out of the gate to start on supporting entrepreneurs. And other than Top Gun, we didn't really have any program that actively developed businesses, supported entrepreneurship. We had a lot of programming that was really geared towards larger employers, institutions, you know, kind of expected a lot of our members had like their own HR department, maybe even with multiple employees, for example. And we have absolutely those businesses within our membership, but 69% of our members have 10 employees or less. Like don't have an HR person, and you know, they probably don't have a marketing person, and folks are wearing multiple hats. And, and so like recognizing that about that it mirrors the demographics of the county, right? In terms of the number of businesses with the number of employees that are smaller.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we started those startup sessions, of which Start and Grow is coming out of.
Yeah.
And, you know, always wanting to see that be more robust and really for like business advising, business coaching, some of that programming, it's just kind of been what I could put into that time myself. And so posting this position was like a personal win, but then interviewing Jennifer in that position and being able to make the offer was like, it just, and then you showed up on your first day and I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Like, we're going to do this. It's so exciting. So I mean, it's a brand new position for us and it, you know, picks up and carries a little bit of a thread of some work that we've been doing before, but in super limited ways. And so what made you say yes? What made you get excited about, like, because I do feel like you share, I think you're genuinely excited, and I think you share a vision with me of, like, what's possible and what's needed and why it's important, and I always get excited when it turns out someone else sees that, too. How great. Like, it's not me. I'm not alone. And so, like, what made you say yes?
I also had a hard time as doing my own business. There were things that I was like, oh, I don't know about this. It was like big and scary. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I really want to deal with like trying to write a grant or do something. And I love that this position and this spot is like, I am going to be able to be a friendly face for somebody and I'm going to be like, go after this grant. Like, do this thing. Like, you can do this. Like, I love the idea that I can make a difference that way. And so for me, that's really exciting. Like understanding what it's like to be in that spot where you're just like overwhelmed and you've got all your other stuff that you got to handle for your business. And then you're like, oh, I could really use this thing to help me grow, or I really just need this, or I could really use some help for marketing. And just being able to say, like, have some resources here, be able to direct people to resources that are actually going to help them, and then, and so that they don't feel like they're supposed to know every single answer, and they're not. So, how can you know every answer?
Yeah.
So, for me, saying yes was saying, I really like the idea of doing this for work.
Right.
Like, this is like,
how lucky are we?
It's great. Yeah.
I love that part too.
Yeah.
Well, and I think, I mean, you're right. I think the two things that every single business owner and entrepreneur struggles with, the first is feeling like they have to know it all.
Yeah.
Because like,
you
oh,
do
I
everything.
Made this
I mean,
choice
like, yeah, I'm a sole
it's
proprietor.
It's my fault. So I've got to deal. Like, and so I'm supposed to,
Dig in. Which is
bananas, right? And we know that at this stage. But I remember being stuck under that particular rock in my early stage. And then the second, which ties intimately with the first, is, and we can't tell anyone that we don't know. Right? Because God forbid somebody thinks that I'm not good at my business, or doing business with me might not be a good experience. And so like, you have to project this front of knowing it all, having it all together, being able to give great customer service and deliver the thing you said you would and do it in a great, and there is no space for not only not knowing, but also needing help. And then telling somebody, like saying out loud, I need help with this thing, somehow undermines that you are a capable business owner. So don't say that out loud, right? Like, I think regardless of all the other stuff that like those two, I feel like are so universal and my favorite like secret to blow up because it is so lonely.
Yeah.
It's so lonely and it's so hard if that's the way you're living. And I'm yet to meet, myself included, anybody in business who doesn't struggle with that and who didn't start with the, you know, preconceived notion that I am supposed to have it all together. And if I was to ask for help, it better be someone I know and trust who isn't trying to do business with me.
Yeah.
I guess the other caveat. And cool, I don't know about you, but the number of people I know and trust who also have the skill sets I don't have exactly as I need for my business, I think that's a small list.
Yeah.
Like, great, right? And so, yeah, I love that that's what you see too, because.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay to not know.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that you're not bad. In fact,
no.
I've seen wildly successful business people who don't know so much.
Well, and, you know, there's a thing that I always say. Like, so if I'm if I'm selling pottery and I'm talking to people and they're like, do you have a website? I'm like, I do have a website, but I am not a website person. So don't expect the most beautiful website.
Right.
And I really, this is something that, like, for myself, I was like, I really should have somebody who is an expert at this do this for me and make it better.
Right.
That's what I should do. But, like, you know, it's tough.
Yeah. If we're courageous enough and have the resources enough to work with somebody, right? Like, all that's just kind of wild in and of itself. You start to talk to like well-established or larger businesses or institutions and like the number of consultants, contractors, and outsourcing, like that other people use. Like we're over here as small businesses and like we can't talk about the fact that we don't know all the things. And then there's these really, you know, profitable, well-established businesses who their entire business model is based on the fact that they know they don't and they bring in experts to do all of the things. And I don't know why there's a disconnect between the small guys and the big guys because, like, that's how they do it. That's how they get there. It's how they stay successful. And the rest of us are like, do you know anybody who's got some marketing expertise? I think I might have a question or two.
I need some help.
Yeah. And by that, like, I need to develop my brand and the marketing campaign and my platform. Like, I just have a couple questions.
Yep.
Right? So it's just, it's that. It you know, chuckles me every single time. I know that we're only 2 weeks in. So how might your background as a small business owner shape the way you approach what you do for work here?
Oh, did I just touch on that already?
I mean, you've like in a bunch of spots, but even as you build out the programming, and for folks listening, like we're actively building it out. We're talking to folks, we're listening, we're taking all of the information that we've learned, conversations that we've had, but also like, talk to us about your needs. Talk to us about the skills that you're trying to build or the problems that you're trying to solve, because I think what's really exciting, I get excited for you about is like there is a lot of space for you to develop and test and get wrong and try again and kill it in all of the areas, right? And so like if anyone is listening who says like, man, all of that sounds like me and what I really need is .. Reach out. Yeah. info@lametrochamber.com.
Yes.
Jennifer@lametrochamber.com. Yes. Either one. Send us suggestions because we're fortunate to be at that point. But I mean, like, I think about somebody who has not owned a business doing the work that you're doing. I think.
But I can just think about, like, for me, I'm putting myself in the position like, oh, yeah, this week, you know, thankfully I had some marketing from stuff that I had done and I knew that, but marketing changes, markets change, like how you market things change, you know, all of those things. I mean, that's like, so again, like if you're thinking in general, for me having a small business in this position, again, it's understanding that anybody who's coming here looking for help is it's because they have a passion, they want to do it, and they have the courage, to ask for help. And if you have the drive and the courage to ask for help, then
let's get it.
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
Again, we've talked about how vast all the different aspects are of that of a small business, and I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know how to like.
But I actually like, that's right. I would say it's both understanding. And I think the other touch that you have already displayed here in your time with us, even on this podcast, but like, it's not just understanding, it's also empathy.
Yeah.
Like it's one thing to recognize and understand what someone else is going through,
yeah.
but to feel it with and for them yeah. and know that it does take courage. You know, like,
yeah, it does.
I actually think it's the mixture of that too, that is going to make you crazy good in this role.
I hope so.
I really do. I really, really do.
I hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah. It's one thing, like, you can understand because you were taught it or because you've read the things, but to have lived it.
Yeah. I mean, and again, just, I get it. Like you got to have an idea. You've got to drive. You've started it. You don't know how to make it go bigger. Let's find that resource that you need, you know,
yeah.
what can we do to help you? Like, what can we put out there that just makes it simpler? So then you don't even have to ask, you have to ask one person and then you get directed in the right direction.
Yeah.
Like, or you get to sit through our information or you get to come to a thing where you can network and also learn something yeah. that you really want to learn more
yeah.
about. And I mean, I think it's that's important.
All of that.
Yeah.
No, that's right. That's 100% right. I'm so excited.
No pressure. No
yeah.
pressure.
Yeah. Aside from you helping me live out a 6-year vision, so no pressure there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't mean it to feel pressure,
but yeah.
There is so much space in and for experimentation and creativity that like the pressure, if anything, is on like the showing up and the listening and the understanding yeah. and then the doing something. It's not like we don't have ideas. We've already got some ideas for workshops.
Well, then,
we've got so much curriculum. Like, I'm not trying to make it sound too loosey-goosey,
yeah.
but the reality is, and I've
so
seen this
much.
In 6 years, the needs change.
Yes.
There is no version of, like,
yes.
every month we'll do a marketing class and it'll be the same. Like,
it can't be that way. It can't
no,
be that way, yeah.
No, so there has to be some nimbleness, some adaption, some
yes.
growth.
If you're going to do a marketing thing, you're going to have to do it, like, maybe like twice a year
yeah.
and then keep up on like what's happening. If you missed it the first time, catch it the second time. And let's keep up on what is valid
yeah.
right now for marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
so that if you are coming in from the beginning, like I just need help with marketing, you can get that. And then by the end of that, even if you know the beginning, you're like, okay, and here are the updates.
Yeah.
We need to like
the
manage.
Algorithm changed.
Yes.
Here's what you need to
this
know.
This is what you... But
stupid
real
algorithms.
Like,
no, that was
thing.
A concrete example.
Like,
those dang
how
algorithms.
How do you get in front of those?
And this is when we say, please like and subscribe.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but like things
yes.
absolutely, absolutely change.
Yep.
I will say my one free piece of advice to everybody is please, please, dear God, set up your Google business. Like just like if there's nothing else that you're sure to do, do that. There's so many businesses and it's such easy kind of low hanging fruit to
yeah.
be like, even if you don't have a website to put in there or the website links to your Facebook or like,
yeah.
just have that presence so that you come up in Google searches. Cause it is the number one way that people find stuff. It's like, it's not a small thing. So that's my, you don't even have to come to a workshop for that one, guys. That one's on the house. That one's on the
this
house.
Was,
yeah. yeah. You just do your basic Google setup and adjust the holiday hours, please.
Oh yeah. That is actually a thing, right?
Right. No, it's like it's a pet peeve. And guys, this comes from us having experienced these things and not being judgmental. This comes from like, hey, learn from what we've learned from.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because that's what we're talking about. If there was one thing, I feel like I keep hedging you into picking one thing.
Oof,
I don't think you
do.
Like it. Yeah.
I don't. I'm terrible.
You could pick
at
two.
This.
You could pick two if you want. If there's one thing that you
okay.
hope to accomplish in this role for local entrepreneurs, what would it be?
Okay. You're going to think this is goofy.
Oh, good. I hope so.
I connect them.
Yeah.
Please. Mm-hmm. Because I think that with even if you have a small group, if you can connect with other entrepreneurs and then you have a support system.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is where that's where success lives.
Yeah. It's so
connect funny. Them.
Yeah.
Because it's hard.
Yeah. It's hard and lonely, right?
Yeah.
Like it can be
yeah,
super
absolutely.
Isolating and
yes.
And if you don't have, I mean, I see I see groups of people who are like entrepreneurial minded or entrepreneurs themselves.
Yeah.
And they'll kill it because they can be really honest with each other,
yes.
talk to each other.
Yes.
But that's like the rarity because the norm is folks kind of like just establishing themselves. Yep. Going to family Thanksgiving and saying, like, the business is doing great.
And then they're dealing with their customers. And your customers are not that connection that I'm talking about.
Like, no.
The right. customers no. are a different connection. I'm talking about connecting with people who are your peers.
Yeah.
And really connecting. Like, mm-hmm. building little communities. That, for me, I'd love to... That would be a thing.
I love that. I mean, I think chambers are meant
yes.
to be that.
Like, I'm going to say, like I feel like this is the right place to do that.
Like, you're in the right spot for that. And the chamber is that. The chamber has been that for 147 years. But it has been that and is that for businesses.
Yeah.
And I think there is, and it is not that an entrepreneur doesn't, like, have a business. It's not like they're not a business person. But there is something... There is something that you need different. Yeah. In no way different than like what a developing 9-year-old and a developing 18-year-old and a 30-year-old need. Yeah. They're going to be different at different stages. And I think like I think that there's so much that entrepreneurs can gain from the chamber, from the activities that we do, from their membership for sure. But I also think, and this was actually a hill I died on in my early days here. I'm like going to out some chamber secrets, and so I'm looking forward to the mail that comes in. Ooh. So there was just this kind of like, I mean, we are a 147-year-old organization, and there was this kind of like really entrenched thinking culturally within the organization itself, but also within like the membership and the culture of the chamber itself, that like you do business with chamber members. You connect with chamber members. There was kind of this very, like, the chamber was a club that you were inside, right? And just to be, like, super clear, that is important.
Oh, yeah.
It's not, like, if you are a chamber member and you value what chambers do to support businesses, to support the economy, to support our community, then, like, spending your time, spending your energy, spending your dollars with other chamber members, like, yes, please do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, please prioritize others who understand
and, that makes sense.
And make that investment. But also, what that showed up as in some places was our, like, they're not a member, we won't go to lunch there. They're not a member, we won't purchase a thing from them. And so it just, like, left out this huge space of, like, well, how does someone try membership? How do we connect with a business to let them know that, like, we're good people doing good work and they might want to be part of us if I don't talk to non-members. Mm-hmm. And then fundamentally, if we're based on established businesses doing well, creating a strong business community, mm-hmm. leading to a strong local economy, then if we really believe that, and I do, if we really believe that, then, like, what is the space that we help people start businesses? Do we demand a membership for them to explore an idea? Or like what is it? So for me, like, that connecting piece is absolutely about creating spaces for people who have an idea and want to explore it. Like, they might not even call themselves an entrepreneur yet.
Yeah.
They definitely wouldn't call themselves a business person.
Some right.
of the best things in my day-to-day life come from people who started with an idea and wondered, could I?
Yeah.
Right? And then, like, found support in finding an answer to that question. And so I just think, like, the traditional role of a chamber membership and chamber functions exists and has importance. And there needs to be this, like, pathway to that of which we support and develop folks and ideas and entrepreneurs into those spaces. And, you know, that just wasn't something, that was fundamentally why we started Startup Sessions, was a place that somebody could humanize the ecosystem of supports, because there are a ton of resources out there.
Oh,
most
so
of
many.
Them are free.
It's wild.
Way overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
Right? And so, like, how do you make that, you know, 60 websites, 50 referrals, fill out these 34, how do you make that, like, real people who then you have a sense of, like, oh, if I meet with you, we could X, Y, Z. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's, like, really different than, you know, 4 hours of internet searching and hoping you find the right thing for you.
And then still not finding it. And then being like, I actually have to work on my business.
Like, I've got a job
to do. I
got to
do
well.
This other thing.
I got to produce stuff. No, it's that. And then, like, the space in which folks could come in and do that and connect with others who are, like, struggling with the same things or thinking about things. Mm-hmm. and just to have a space where you could say like, hi, I'm so-and-so, I have a business idea, I'm stuck. And not feel like the world is going to fall apart because it turns out you don't have it all together, you don't have it all figured out. And so, no, I think that's absolutely right. That's exactly what we're aiming for. I think you're going to kill it, Jennifer.
I hope so.
You're going to own it.
I do. I hope it's great.
Yeah. Slay it? Can we say that?
You can.
Yeah, slay it. Okay. You're going to slay it.
Slay.
Yeah, just like that. Just like that. Before we go into our last segment, any questions, things that came up for you, Mark?
I was curious if you explored other artistic mediums before deciding on pottery.
Well, I do. I'm going to be clear. Like, it's a complicated thing for me because I'm supposed to pick, and I don't like that.
Who says that you have to pick?
They say you have to pick. I do a whole bunch of things, and to be fair, some of it is like, at one point I was going to start a soap making business. Oh. I made my own soap. Like, I was like, I have done a whole bunch of different things. I said, I don't want to run this like a business. This is just the thing that I did, you know what I mean? Or a thing that I might do again, or like, but as far as art is concerned, I'm a visual artist as well. And I work in oils, I work in watercolor, whatever ink, whatever I feel like doing. And, in some ways that doing pottery as like, this is going to be the thing that I really focus on in this business meant that I just did whatever I felt like doing in my two-dimensional fine art. I just didn't have to, say, well, she's this type of fine artist, right, and this is how I have to market it. And right, you know what I mean? Right. So
has it ever felt like work to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
The creating part or the selling part?
There you go. So also the creating part. As far as like pottery is concerned, it gets to that spot. I mean, I'm making the same mug. So there are points in my time where I'm like, I gotta change the style of this because I have made the same thing over and over and over and over again, and I'm tired. It's making me tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's real. And people always ask her, you're like, but it doesn't feel like work if you love it. I'm like, I love it.
Yeah.
And it is still work. And I respect the fact that it's still work.
Yeah.
I'm not working for somebody else when I'm doing that. I'm working for you now, but when I'm doing pottery, I was like, well, this is still, I am the one who's making the choices about this, but it still is like, you get up, you get going.
I dabble in art. I do watercolor to relax. I've never made an income. I've certainly never thought of it as like a business endeavor or anything.
Yeah.
But even in that, where there's absolutely no pressure, there's zero expectation.
Yeah.
A handful of people see my art regularly, like, and otherwise not so much.
Sell your artwork.
And still, there are days where I like sit there with my watercolor and my pad of paper, and I like try a couple of things. And I try a couple more things, and then like, this all sucks. The heck with it. And so that is why I was asking, like, is the creativity part feel like work sometimes too? Because I feel that.
Yes.
And it's a pure joyful outlet for me. Like, I wouldn't even call it a hobby.
Yeah.
It is an outlet that I use. And sometimes even in that, I'm like, if it's an outlet, it shouldn't feel like work.
Our final segment is called Looking Back, Leading Forward, where we invite our guests to share advice or insights from their experiences to help lead us forward.
So if you could give advice to someone dreaming of launching their first venture, what would you say?
I better figure that out because I'm going to be sleeping.
That's hilarious.
I would say if you believe in it,
that
do it. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Try.
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not. And then it is again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be awesome. But if you try, you will not say, I never tried.
Yeah.
That's what I would say. I mean, about anything. Like, honestly, just like, yeah.
No regrets.
Just do it.
Yeah.
You can at least say that you tried, and you might find that you takes you down a path you didn't expect.
Yeah. I love that the very first thing you said was some version of, if you're passionate about it,
yeah,
do it.
Yes.
Right? Like, and I think that's actually a really important caveat. Like, yeah, that's the advice.
You gotta want it.
That's the thing. Like, I have seen people...
You gotta feel it.
Yeah. The place in which I've seen people not be successful, and by, like, all the markers, not just, like, how's your P&L, give me your financial statement, but, like, being unhappy and, you know, overworking themselves, like, by other markers, too, of, like, that just that... It has almost always been for people who felt like going into business was the thing they were going to do because they couldn't find someone they wanted to work for. Didn't have anything to do with passion. Didn't have anything to do with the thing of their business, whether it was a craft or a product or a service, and doing that well, or bringing that to people, or but like the like, the job market's tough and I don't really like what I'm finding out there, so I'm going to start my own business. So, like, if you are not passionate about it, then don't do
it.
But if you are passionate about it, God, go try.
Yeah.
Go try. No, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta want to do it.
That's great advice. All of the things that stem for that. Is it feasible? Who's your target customer? All of that comes that first
piece. You can try to figure all that stuff out, but you have to have that desire, because it is hard.
Yeah.
And then it's not.
Right. It's like a burn in your belly that you feel. Like, I've got to.
Just listen. I can
do this. Yeah. And we're only 2 weeks in. I'm so excited. Did I mention I'm so excited?
Once or twice.
Did it come up? It's great. You're going to count it and send me a text about how many times it came up. Or an audio clip of them all streamed together.
It could have been a bingo challenge. Every time she says, I'm so excited, mark down on your piece of paper. We should have.
I feel like you figured me out. And now I'm in trouble.
Oh, no.
Any parting words for you, Jennifer?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Thanks for listening, and I hope that I can meet some new people and help them out.
come visit. Come stop
me.
By.
Go, I will help you.
Yeah.
I will at least try to get you in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's where I would love to do that.
For sure. The only thing I would offer is if the notion of, like, figuring out how to connect with Jennifer like, come to a startup session. First Tuesday.
Startup sessions are so easy. You can just drop in.
Walk in. There's no agenda.
There's actually usually advisors there.
Yeah.
It's so
real
even
people.
If you wanted to actually talk about stuff or if you just wanted to come and say, hey, that's the thing. Startup
Stop
sessions.
By.
Yes.
Chamber, 415 Lisbon Street.
Yes.
5 o'clock on the first Tuesday.
Yes.
See you there.
Yeah.
Jennifer, thank you so much for saying yes to this, even though
thanks for having me here.
There's like, someone do a podcast? Gonna do that, huh? I'm like, yep, you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great.